Women Who Rock.
Women Rock.
Women Who Rock.
Women Rock.
Women Who Rock.
Women Who Rock.
Women Who Rock.
Women Who Rock. Women Who Rock.
This is Women Who Rock, a podcast promoting female musicians and artists. Today, I am joined by Rhys Lucia. She is a singer-songwriter from Sydney who spans quite a lot of genres. Rhys, thank you so much for joining me on Women Who Rock.
Thanks for having me.
Frankie Magazine is pretty rad.
Yeah.
I saw that your song, Paint You While You're Still, was a finalist.
Yeah.
In the, I think it was called the Good Stuff Awards.
That's it.
And I saw the little blurb on the Frankie website about the song. Can you tell us about the genesis of that song? How that sort of came to be?
Whoa. Okay. So, Paint You While You're Still was created over kind of a long period of time.
Okay.
And this is how I wrote a lot of the songs on that EP, because I've always use songwriting just as an outlet. It's been kind of an involuntary thing. Whenever I just had too many feelings, I had to get them out. So I was writing that, I think, when I started when I was maybe 18 or 19 in Turkey. I was doing some backpacking through Europe, as you do. Ended up with no money, so went east and more east, and yeah, ended up in a beautiful farmhouse in Turkey, working on the farm. And my boyfriend at the time played guitar, and so of course I had to be better than him.
Okay.
So I taught myself guitar, and so while I was teaching myself, that was one of the songs that I came up with as an exercise for finger picking. And it really stuck with me, and it was quite an emotional thing. And then when I came back years later, I finished the song. I put the vocals to it, and the lyrics were all really different by that time because my life was in a totally different place.
Mm.
And so what started as a journey really far away from home ended up as a song from home, and thinking about how my life was in that place and in that place of happiness and what was going on then. Yeah.
So when you go back and listen to it, or when you play the guitar parts, do you have kind of a different relationship with it now, because you were kind of maybe in a different headspace when you like recorded it for the EP compared to when you were first writing it in on like a Turkish farm?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, I definitely think more about the actual the lyrics of it now, which was kind of about like it was like a really precise snapshot in time, as if everything was frozen, and I just had that warm feeling of contentedness when I was writing it, about being in love, and also about my family, and my sister was overseas and I missed her, and my brother had given me this amazing piece of wisdom when I was 6 years old.
Okay.
A little flashback there. So we were living on another farm, actually, when I was really little, in Coffs Harbour, and I used to be really scared of storms. And my brother used to say, oh, no, don't worry about it. The trees are just dancing. That's all that's going on. And that just gave me such comfort that this, when I was writing this song a million years later, that same sense of comfort just surrounded me. And there's actually the line in the song, I remember dancing like trees in a storm.
Wow.
So it's kind of just a piece of gratitude to my family, to being in love, to home, to those sorts of things, which, yeah, is really different to the place it started in Turkey, which was an incredible place.
It's almost like you're writing a song with yourself at different ages, and
yeah,
you kind of each one is contributing a little bit.
Totally, yeah. That's exactly what songwriting is to me. It's just a complete moment of kind of unconditional honesty with myself in that moment, and that's entirely what music is about to me. Yeah.
It's interesting that you're talking about kind of zoning in on that moment, because it came from your EP, the debut EP, Incongruence. When I heard that title, I have to admit, I thought of triangles because I'm a nerd.
Oh, cool.
But I saw that you put in the blurb that it was about, we've established that, I'm a nerd. You wrote that it was inspired by the small moments in life.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask, was there a particular moment where that inspired the particular title, or is it a collection of doing this songwriting and those channeling a moment in time?
Yeah, kind of the later one. It's so the idea of incongruence is, it's actually a phrase coined by Carl Rogers, a humanistic psychologist, and his view was sort of built around, built upon the theories of another psychologist called Abraham Maslow, who had the hierarchy of needs. And his whole premise of his theory was that we have different levels of needs, starting with like physiological needs, like shelter, and food. And then there's safety needs, like you need to know your life isn't in danger, so you've got to safe house or whatever. And then, you know, love and emotion and all the others. And at the top, it's self-actualization, which is basically his theory was that all humans have the same drive to reach our full potential. And Carl Rogers jumped on that bandwagon and said, yeah, but also we need other things. We need our, what was his premise? His premise was that we need our environment to also fulfill us and provide us with genuineness and openness and acceptance and things like that to actually reach that. And when we don't, we experience incongruence, which is a discrepancy between our ideal self and our actual self. So it's something that once you notice it and you look around, it's all over the place. It's a huge thing in social media these days, where people have one identity on their feed, but their real life is totally different. And that just causes so much psychological tension and friction, I suppose. And I think a lot of that happens when you've got to keep face. And in my background of my family, so my mum's side is Italian, and also in just a lot of families and a lot of society, people prefer to keep face rather than to face difficult things and to talk about things. And so a lot of incongruence comes from that. And so that's a theme that I've just experienced a lot. And
okay, that's really interesting. We went to very different places when we thought about that title.
Yeah, I mean, it can be about triangles. I like triangles.
When you were talking about the theory, sorry, who was the philosopher that?
Carl Rogers, psychologist.
You mentioned the idea of you need your, in something like your environment to be nurturing of that. Do you mean, does that mean society at large?
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I completely agree with all of Rogers' theory, but he sort of said there were three levels, which now you're testing me, I can't remember them all, but you know what, you can Google it, people at home.
Okay.
Because I can't remember what those three things are, but
maybe we'll put a link.
I'll
put a link to some details.
I mean, it's not the most perfect theory, but it's something that's quite thought-provoking when you have a look at how societies and how people interact.
Great. Oh man, I got schooled on philosophy. This is awesome.
Yeah, well, I study psychology, and I think a lot of that comes through in my songwriting. It's just something I'm fascinated by.
I saw that you posted a video and you played a lot of shows with a very recent guest of the show, Indira. How long have you been making music and just jamming with her?
Yeah, Indira, she's one of my greatest friends. She's such a beautiful person. And yeah, we met in uni 3 years ago.
Okay.
Only, somehow. We just started jamming together because I think we bonded over, so we were in a performance class where you'd every week would have to play a few songs to the rest of the class, and then everybody basically critiques you to your face straight away. And it was just this amazing exercise of self-awareness and humbly receiving feedback. It was
nothing
great.
Like an honest critique.
Oh, yeah. Always comfortable. Lovely. But yeah, and so we bonded in that class over our vocal prep strategies, which is honey and ginger tea. I live by it.
Is that a classic?
Well, it seems to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I go a little step further and boil the actual ginger and then let it sit for like overnight, and then it's just like lava, burns your throat, but it's great, does the trick.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, so she,
I'm not a singer, so I'm not privy to these kind of details.
Yeah, so she said she does the same thing, and I suppose since then we've just been jamming, and yeah, we've jumped on each other's projects. We've written together a couple times for another project, and yeah, it's just such an awesome friendship.
It's always rad to see Women Who Rock guests working together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you've had Lady Lion on the show as well.
Hayley, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Hayley supported me for my very first show at the Golden Age for the EP launch.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and she's just another incredible woman, so that's cool too.
I think that when I went to the Bonnie Songs where Indira played at, I think there were maybe 6 people who'd been guests on the show.
Yes.
It's cool.
It is. It's an awesome show.
It's like creating a community.
Wow.
Speaking about working with people, so on the EP, I wanted to talk about you were working with Mark Myers from the Middle East.
Yeah.
Tell me about how it was working with him.
It was surprisingly incredible. Not that I expected it to be, you know, terrible, but on his website, he had kind of like a package thing of we could, you know, do the recording, and he could also arrange accommodation and things like that because he's up in Cairns. And so I hit him up about that. I was like, look, can I just, what's the accommodation deal? And he said, oh, well, actually, the website's a bit old. I'm married now. I have kids, but I guess you can stay with us.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, great. See you there. And so I ended up just staying with him and his wife and their 2 kids in their home in Cairns. And it was just such a wholesome week. We smashed out all 5 songs in, I think, 5 days. And, yeah, I had home-cooked meals together and just, it was really lovely.
Wow.
Yeah.
It seems like the opposite of a very kind of, you know, commercial studio where,
yeah,
you know, we're here from 8 until 5:30, not 5:40, and everything's on a timeline.
Yeah, that's it.
And everyone's extremely stressed.
Oh, it was so the opposite of that. We cruised into town every morning. We got a coffee because we're both coffee fiends. They actually lived a little bit outside of Cairns as well.
Okay. And
I don't know that area too well, but it was just the most beautiful mountains, and it was so green and lush. And I love the north. I love the hot weather. I mean, my dad's from Townsville, so it felt quite cyclical and awesome to really go up there after all this time. Sorry, context for that is before I went to Europe, I moved to Townsville for 6 months, and that's where I started teaching myself guitar. So to be up in the north again recording the EP was, like, all those years later was beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should hear some.
Okay, let's do
that. Let's take a track from your EP, Incongruence. The one that really leapt out at me was a track called Al's Losing His Mind. I think we might have a listen to that, and then we'll come back and have a bit more of a chat about the EP. So this is a track called Al's Losing His Mind.
Do you think I asked too much of you? Maybe I did, maybe I do. That doesn't change that now you are strange, just to be one of the others. Maybe I'm lonely, but that's not the only point here. Thank you.
cradle. Hate to be stuck, hate to be still. And I would drive around for days just to be on the move. And I know it's lonely, but now it's the only way I know how to be. I don't think much of you most of the time, most of that's true. Then again, I don't think so much of my own self anyways. Ooh, I'm tired of this game. Last night I cried to someone that I didn't know. I was so sad, Ellie's losing his mind. I can't believe for a month we just didn't know. Now he is vacant and strange and confused and expired.
That was Al's Losing His Mind by Reese Lucia. And that is, as I said, when I listened to the EP, that was one that really jumped out at me. When in listening to it, it really spans a lot of genres. Mm. That was sort of more, I guess, a dark kind of folky song. But we also, there are some real kind of moments of pop sensibilities throughout it as well. Mm. Do you really draw on, do you have like a really eclectic styles of music that you like to listen to that was sort of informing that EP?
Yeah, I suppose because I started writing so many of the songs so many years before I ended up recording it over that time, just because of sheer time passing. There were so many influences that ended up in the EP. I don't think I write so directly from influences, though. Like I said, my songwriting process is just like a really cathartic thing for me. So I guess if I'm listening to a lot of folk at that time and then something happens in my life that prompts me to create a song just like that, of course those things are going to kind of melt into the final product, but I don't so clearly say, oh, this came from my collection of folk or this or that. Yeah. Okay.
So it's sort of like a history book, looking back at how you kind of dipped into the different genres at different times.
Totally.
And you're not sitting down thinking that, okay, I want this EP to have a lot of different sounds. This is the pop song, this is the folk song or whatever. It's more just like a organic kind of process.
Yeah, completely. I think also secret time. I've kind of had a lot of problems with genres. I'm really bad at labeling genres. Don't tell anyone. Secret. I can never just get my head around the clear-cut different kinds of genres and all different like extremes of music, which I've always thought was a little bit of a hindrance. But I've recently decided that I actually really like that because it means I just create whatever's coming out of me without putting much of a filter on it or much of an expectation or a bias to fit it into a particular pigeonhole.
Sure. And I think that pigeonholes, I guess, were they originally, the idea was you go to a record store and you think, I want this type of music, so I'm going to go to this part of the store. And they had to kind of pigeonhole it like that.
Mm.
We don't have to. Just go on Spotify and everything is there.
Yeah.
And it has an algorithm that knows what you like. So maybe we don't need genres anymore.
Great. I'm done with them.
Yeah. It'd be a lot easier to try and describe music. We just say that we like it rather than trying to put it in a particular place.
Yeah. Great. That's super 2019.
Yeah. I was looking through your Instagram. There is a strong nature theme.
Oh.
It seems like you have a lot of photos of nature.
Yeah.
Do you draw on that in songwriting as well?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. Yeah. I'm glad you picked that up from my Instagram feed, actually. I feel like a lot these days it's just my face, which is really narcissistic. But yeah, totally.
And your white guitar.
And my white guitar.
Oh, man.
Oh, I love that guitar.
Yeah, it's real good.
So I definitely draw a lot on nature, and I think so much of my songwriting has come out of my travel, and so much of my travel has come out of wonderful escapism. So it's kind of this cycle of, you know, whenever I'm going through something, I'm like, time to travel the world, and when I'm traveling, I'm writing. So it's all this integrated kind of emotional healing process, or not always healing, you know, it could be a reverie instead of escapism. It could just be a wonderful high of feelings, but it's always pretty emotionally charged. And I find nature is just a really recharging kind of environment.
We had Incongruence, the EP was released last year, but I think that, I mean, you're working towards a single for this year, and can you tell us about, I guess, the activities for the end of the year, and also, is there an album on the way, or will it be another EP?
Yeah, so I've got another single coming up in a couple months, and then an album next year, which will be super exciting. Probably a second single as well to come before that.
Okay.
So a couple exciting things on the way.
So yeah. with the EP, we've spoken about how it's kind of a long, slow burn and progression. If the album is going to be over a tighter period of time, do you think that there's going to be less variation in genre, if we still need that word or not? Or do you think it will be perhaps similar to Incongruence?
I think it will be similar.
Okay.
And I think that's because, so my friends say it's because I'm a Gemini, but I'm very flippant, if you want to say a bad word, or, you know, varied, if you want to make it sound exciting. But yeah, I mean, I go through a lot of different phases in a really short period of time. So I think definitely the next album is looking pretty varied as well. There's a few quiet kind of folky tracks in there, which have happened at some kind of difficult times for me when I wrote them. And then there's some almost dancey tracks as well, which is a lot of fun. We've got a sax player on board.
Oh, cool.
And he's just a genius. And yeah, I'm making it a lot more collaborative this time. Indira, her vocals will be on the album as well. And
oh, good.
Yeah.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, me too.
Collaboration.
Yeah, and we're working with Ryan Brennan, who's just an all-round legend. So
Ryan is great.
Oh, isn't he?
Yeah. We talk about Ryan quite a lot on this show.
Really?
Yeah. from Ryan to... So I was going to ask as well, I guess you don't know the title yet, but is there going to be is it based on a philosophical concept?
Kind of. So I actually had this entire album planned out before the last EP was even recorded. Half the songs of the album were already written, and the other half I'm writing now. So that's probably why it's going to be really varied again. But yeah, I've got the title. It is based on kind of a psychological basis, because that's what I am fascinated by. It's what I obsess over in the world. You know, I'm fascinated by people and the way they interact, and the way they interact with themselves, and then the way they bring that perception of themselves to the world and present themselves, and then how that works when they try and bring that into relationships with other people who are doing the same thing. I'm really inspired by that. So the next album's going to be around that theme as well.
Well, when you put it out, you'll have to come back on and we'll have another discussion about philosophical concepts.
I'd love to.
Sounds good. We'll lock it in. It's time for Tell Me a Thing. I have a list of 7 topics and I'd like you to talk about one of them. We have musical equipment, recording equipment, punk rock, Patti Smith, poetry, death, and politics. Reese, can you please tell me a thing?
So I think I might tell you a thing about music equipment.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So I actually brought in a thing,
yeah,
which is a visual thing, so it doesn't really work on podcasts, but it's a heap of fun. It's a vocal processor, and we use it a lot on the upcoming album. I've always been super obsessed with harmonies.
Okay.
And that kind of came from when I was younger. Actually, you know what? This is punk rock melded right in there.
We can do two for one.
Oh, yeah, see, it's the Gemini thing again. It's just, it always happens.
Yep, it's yep. definitely related to astrology. So
yeah, very much so. That's fact. So, yeah, I mean, when I was younger listening to... I went through a total pop punk phase.
Okay.
Yeah, super into
Green Day.
Green Day, yeah, Blink 182, mm-hmm. Sum 41. Fall Out Boy was the first concert I ever went to.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I was a cool rock chick when I was 13. But a lot of them, actually almost all of them, were male singers, and they sang in a register that was a little bit outside of my comfortable register. So instead of singing along to all the songs, I would always just sing a harmony. And that was more comfortable in my register, but it meant that was how I really got a really strong grasp on vocal harmony. And so it's just a theme in all of my music. And this vocal processor that I've got just really opens the doors to harmonies on harmonies on harmonies.
Okay.
So yeah, it's amazing. And working with Ryan on the upcoming EP, we had a lot of fun one day in the studio after being in the studio for hours and hours, and we just went a little bit insane, and we got all of the guitar pedals in the place and just whacked the vocals through that, and we had all these
these
crazy sounds, which was heaps of fun. And we thought we were geniuses, and we listened back the next day and we were like, okay, we can't use up this. But we have kept a lot of it in there in sneaky little places.
Okay, I mean, I'm holding this VE20 vocal processor.
Yeah.
Can you tell? So it's not a loop pedal. Can
it
you
has
tell
a
me
loop
about
function
what
in it, but that's not the exciting bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the exciting bit? Because I don't really know what I'm holding.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So it basically means you sing into it, you kind of hook up a microphone into it, and then you can select different kind of processing options. So you can put a third above harmony, or a third and a fifth above, third below, fifth above, lots of different things like that. Or you can have multiple layers in there, octaves doubled. You can also do reverb, delay, all of that jazz. There's like a robot voice, which I was really hoping to do this entire interview as a robot. But that's okay. We can do that next time.
Just to remain anonymous.
Yeah, exactly.
We have said your name 3 to 4 times, so I'm not sure how anonymous it's going to be at this point.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay, so you can do multiple... You can do like up a fifth.
Yep, and an octave and a third.
And but how many can you layer as many layers as you want?
No, so I mean, as far as vocal processors go, this one's actually pretty almost cheesy. You know, it's pretty easy to use if you know your basic music theory. But I really like it because of its simplistic design. It's just really user-friendly. So we use it on stage all the time.
Right.
And it's just really quick and like swift for in-between songs and things like that.
There's a band called Royal Blood. They're like a two-piece. The guy plays bass and there's a drummer. And it took me about 2 years until someone told me how they have such a heavy sound. And so the guy, I think he plays through like 3 amps.
Oh, wow.
But he plays a single note on the bass, and so through one amp he gets that root note, and then some kind of signal processing gives him a fifth through like a different amp.
Oh, awesome.
So that's, yeah, it sounds really huge.
Yeah, they do have a
signal processing is cool.
It is cool. Look, I mean, I wish, I would love to be more of a nerd with this stuff. I find it really fascinating, but I have a curse with technology.
Okay.
I swear I do. Don't look at me like that, man. So it's like every piece of tech I have, it breaks, and I'm sure it's the technology and not me. Mm. That's the issue.
It might be related to astrology.
Probably is.
We
it
can't rule it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably all in the stars, yeah. Just today, actually, I took my laptop, which has been having the USB ports haven't been working, the Bluetooth hasn't been working, take it into the Apple Genius, it just works fine. So
that's a classic.
It is, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
Technology.
Oh.
Reese, thanks so much for coming on Women Who Rock. It's been really fun hanging out.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Matt.
I wish my bed was a cradle. Hate to be stuck, hate to be still. And I would drive around for days.
Just Women Who Rock is proudly produced in the Sydney studios
of Do SER 107.3.
It's the only way I know how to be.